everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're looking at the Book of Kings, and we're going to focus in on the reigns of two kings, King Uzziah and King Menahem, and we'll be using Dr. John Oswalt's commentary to guide our exploration today.
Sounds good.
So get this, you might be surprised by what actually made a good king back in ancient Israel.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? You know, we tend to think of like huge military victories or, you know, impressive building projects.
Right, right.
But the Book of Kings, especially through Dr. Oswalt's analysis, kind of points to a different measure. How these kings treated the most vulnerable people in their society.
Interesting.
And I think that's where things get really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So let's start with King Uzziah. He reigned for 52 years. Okay, that's a long time. But he only gets 7 verses in Kings.
Mm.
That doesn't seem like a lot, especially because he's described as doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, you'd think a king like that would get way more attention, right? Yeah. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's a great question. Dr. Oswalt suggests that Uzziah's short mention comes down to the standard he's being measured against.
Okay.
So he might look good compared to some of the kings who came before him.
Right.
But he pales in comparison to, like, the ultimate benchmark, King David.
Okay, that makes sense. So while Chronicles might focus on all the things Uzziah did for the temple and the priesthood, Kings emphasizes something totally different.
Yeah.
Caring for the poor and helpless. And it actually presents that as a sign of, like, truly knowing God, which is a pretty powerful statement about what it means to live out your faith, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it challenges us to think about how our own beliefs, you know, how they translate into action. How do we, in our daily lives, actually demonstrate care for those in need? What would a modern good king look like based on this standard?
Mm. Now things take a darker turn, though, when we move on to Menahem. So Menahem comes to power after Jeroboam II's long and prosperous reign, but his ascension is marked by violence and just brutality. You really get a sense that things are unraveling pretty quickly. What's Dr. Oswalt's take on this chaotic time?
Well, he actually points out the downsides of prosperity.
Oh, wow.
And he argues that, you know, long periods of wealth and comfort can lead to complacency and self-interest.
Oh, interesting.
You know, we forget about those who are struggling. He even compares, you know, the attitudes of people during the Great Depression, who actually often found solace in community and sharing what they had with others.
Right.
To the, you know, much more individualistic mindset that we see in the world today.
That's really fascinating. But the Bible itself seems to have a complicated view of wealth.
Right.
Sometimes it's like a gift from God, but then other times it's this source of temptation, even judgment. How do we reconcile those two seemingly opposite viewpoints?
I think it comes down to how that wealth is used.
Oh, okay.
Is it a means to bless others for their God's purposes in the world, or is it hoarded and used to just elevate ourselves?
Yeah.
You know? And the way we handle wealth, it reveals a lot about our hearts and priorities. So,
yeah.
I mean, think about your own life. How do your spending habits, you know, reflect your values? Are you using your resources in a way that honors God and actually helps others?
Those are some pretty thought-provoking questions.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Menahem, though. So the text describes him ripping open pregnant women in the city of Tirzah.
Mm.
I mean, that is a horrific image. It definitely paints him in a very negative light.
Yeah. What's really striking is that the text emphasizes that Menahem, he never turned away from his wickedness.
Wow.
It's not just about one isolated incident. It really speaks to a pattern of cruelty and a heart that, like, just seems so hardened to God.
We also see Menahem turning to Assyria for security, even bribing King Tiglath-Pileser for support. He's clearly very anxious about holding on to his power, but is he looking in the right places for help?
That's where the irony comes in. So Menahem, in his desperation to secure his reign, seeks help from a potential enemy. And it's a classic example of how sin can really cloud our judgment and lead us to rely on things that might ultimately be our downfall.
So you're saying instead of turning to God, who's the true source of strength and security, Menahem puts his trust in this foreign power that could very easily turn on him. It makes you wonder, you know, what Assyrians we might be tempted to rely on in our own lives, even though they might ultimately lead us astray.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah, it really is a question we should all think about, huh? Are we putting our faith in things that could betray us, just like Assyria could have betrayed Menahem? You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the pursuit of external security. Like, that's all we focus on. But true peace comes from somewhere much deeper.
Yeah, it is fascinating how we can see these patterns repeating throughout history and even in our own lives. You know, we think if we just had enough money, enough power, enough possessions, then finally we would feel secure. But that's not really how it works, is it?
No, not at all. True security comes from knowing that no matter what happens, we are loved, we are cared for by God. It's about finding our identity and our worth in Him, not in our, you know, circumstances or achievements.
It's almost like Menahem is so focused on, like, outward appearances and political maneuvering that he completely misses the point. Like, yeah. He's trying to build his kingdom on a foundation of fear and just self-preservation, but he's totally neglecting the most important thing, his relationship with God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes the contrast with someone like Joseph so striking. You know, Joseph faces unbelievable hardship. He's betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery, and then unjustly imprisoned. But despite all of that, the text keeps saying that God was with him.
Wow. It really makes you wonder, what would have happened if Menahem had approached his reign with that same, like, unwavering faith, you know? What if instead of trying to control everything, he had surrendered his anxieties to God, sought his guidance?
It's an interesting thought, isn't it? I mean, maybe Menahem's reign would have looked completely different. Perhaps he would have found the strength to resist all those temptations of power and lead with compassion and justice, even when he was faced with so much uncertainty.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the Book of Kings holds up some kings as, like, examples, you know, both positive and negative.
Right.
And it's obvious that Menahem is a cautionary tale.
Right.
But what about Uzziah? How does his story fit into this bigger picture?
Well, that's where things get a little more complicated. Remember how we were talking about Uzziah, how he gets a pretty short mention in Kings?
Right.
Even though he had this really long reign? Well, Menahem actually gets more attention, more detail, even though his reign was much shorter.
Wow, that is surprising. You'd think the good king would get way more space in the story. Why all the emphasis on Menahem, the king who did these terrible, violent things?
Dr. Oswald thinks the writer of Kings is intentionally holding Menahem up as this warning.
Mm.
He's not just a name on a list of kings. He's like this vivid illustration of what happens when we choose the path of selfishness and brutality.
So by giving Menahem more space in the story, it's almost like the writer is saying, don't be like this guy. Don't let fear and ambition, you know, drive your choices. Choose a different path.
Exactly. And I think there's also another layer to this. By contrasting Menahem's wickedness with Uzziah's, like, seemingly good reign, the writer is forcing us to really think hard about what true righteousness looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about outward appearances or religious rituals.
Yeah.
You know, it's about a heart that is truly aligned with God's will.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in checking all the boxes of religious observance, right?
Yeah.
But true faith, it goes much deeper. It's about letting God transform our hearts and guide our actions, especially how we treat those who are most vulnerable.
Absolutely. And that's where Uzziah's story, even though it's so short, offers a really powerful lesson. Even a king who everyone considers good, he can still fall short of God's ideal. We all have these blind spots, these areas where we need to grow. We need to allow God to work in us.
It's a humbling reminder that none of us have it all figured out, right? We're all on this journey of faith, and we all need God's grace and His guidance every step of the way.
Absolutely. Mm. And I think that's one of the most important takeaways from this entire deep dive. It's not about just labeling these kings as good or bad and then feeling good about ourselves, you know, for being on the right side. It's about recognizing our own need for God's mercy and striving to live in a way that reflects His character.
It's about looking at our hearts, our motivations, our actions, and asking, am I living in a way that honors God, that brings Him glory?
That is a great question to keep in mind as we continue to look at these stories. And it leads us to another important theme that Dr. Oswald highlights, which is the idea of security. Where do we find it? What are we willing to give up to get it? And are we looking in the right places?
Yeah, it is interesting how this idea of security keeps coming up. We see Menahem desperately searching for it in military might, political alliances, and he neglects his relationship with God in the process. And then there's Uzziah, who seems to find some security in his religious piety and outward observance of the law, right? But is that really enough?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? Does true security come from external things like wealth, power, or even religious rituals?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there a deeper, more enduring source of security that can sustain us even when everything else is falling apart around us?
I think we both know what Dr. Oswald would say. He argues that true security, it can only be found in a relationship with God. aligning our hearts with His will, and trusting that even in the midst of all the craziness, He is in control.
Exactly. It's about realizing that we are not in control, and that's okay. It's about giving our fears and anxieties to God and finding peace in knowing that He's with us no matter what happens.
Yeah, that's a powerful thought, especially when the world feels so uncertain and unpredictable. It makes you think, what would it look like to live with that kind of radical trust in God, even when things are tough, even when we don't get what He's doing?
That's a question worth really thinking about, and it's something that we'll keep exploring as we dig deeper into these stories from Kings. But for right now, let's just take a second and think about what we've learned so far. We've seen how two very different kings, Uzziah and Menahem, both struggled with the same basic questions. What does it mean to be truly good? Where do we find true security when the world feels so chaotic?
And we've also seen how Dr. Oswald's insights challenge us to look at our own lives, you know, our choices, our own relationship with God.
Yeah, it's really amazing how these stories from, you know, thousands of years ago can still feel so relevant to our lives today. I mean, we're sitting here talking about kings and kingdoms, ancient power struggles, but the core issues, they're still so relatable. You know, figuring out what it means to live a good life, where to find true security, how to handle the complexities of faith and leadership.
Yeah, that's the power of scripture. These stories, I mean, they transcend time and culture because they speak to the deepest parts of us, the things we all long for. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to kind of bring it back to our listeners. We've been talking about Uzziah, who maybe missed the mark a bit when it came to caring for the vulnerable, even though he seems so devout. And then there's Menahem, who looked for security in all the wrong places, and his reign just became all about brutality and fear. So, what are the big takeaways here? What can we actually learn from these kings that might help us live our own lives, you know, with a little more wisdom, a little more intention?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is that true goodness, it's not just about looking good or, you know, checking off all the religious boxes. It's about getting our hearts aligned with God's will. And then showing that, you know, through real tangible action, showing compassion, working for justice.
Yeah, putting our faith into action, especially when it comes to those who need it most, you know, the vulnerable people in our lives. It makes you wonder, what a good king would look like today, or even just a good person, you know, what would that look like based on this standard?
Right, exactly. And when it comes to that idea of security, I think we can see pretty clearly that placing our trust in anything other than God, I mean, that just leads to anxiety, instability, and disappointment, ultimately.
Yeah, it's like we can try to build our lives on, I don't know, wealth or power or what we achieve, but that foundation, it's always shaky. I mean, it could all be taken away in an instant.
Right, exactly. Real security, the kind that can handle, any storm that comes our way, that comes from knowing that we are loved and cared for by God, no matter what. It's about finding who we are, our worth in Him, not in our circumstances, you know?
That's so good. So as you go about your week, we want to leave you with a question that Dr. Oswald asks in his commentary. He says, and I'm going to quote this, "Where is your security? What is propping you up?"
It's such a good question, isn't it? Really worth thinking about. What are you relying on for strength, for stability, for that sense of peace when everything feels so uncertain?
Are you putting your trust in things that could ultimately let you down? Or are you building your life on something solid, on the rock of God's love and His faithfulness?
We really encourage you to, you know, spend some time with those questions this week and to think about shifting your foundation if you realize you're leaning on anything other than God.
And remember, real security, real fulfillment, it's not about what we have or what we achieve. It's about having that connection, that relationship with the one who created us and loves us no matter what.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the lives of King Uzziah and King Menahem. We hope you've learned something, you know, something that you can take with you.
And until next time, keep seeking truth, keep asking those tough questions, and keep diving deep. We'll see you on the next deep dive.